This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Viv Stanley.
And
Weir. And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, last week you were talking about the technical arrangements about buying a shared home with a friend where you each have a particular percentage of the house and all that, so some of the legal aspects. But there's the whole living arrangement, isn't there? Suddenly, so how do you organise that? You both have the same ideas about how clean and tidy the house should be?
People do have different ideas of how things should be done. But, you know, hopefully being sort of mature adults or reasonable people, you sort of just work that out. And you also realise, I don't think you get to sort of my age, which is nearly 70, without realising that, you know, you have some peculiarities yourself and foibles yourself.
You've developed habits as to how things should be done.
That's right. And some of them aren't logical, but you should do them that way.
Yeah. So can you give some examples where it didn't work?
It's not so much it didn't work, but it's funny things like, you know, it's like, okay, where the knives go.
Yes.
And I want the good sharp knives. We've got this nice little rack, and I want them in the slots, and I want them in every second slot, and they're ordered by size.
Yeah.
Now, when I would come and open up the knife drawer and see that they weren't in every second, in fact, every slot was jammed full, and they were in all different order, I would say rude words under my breath.
Yes.
So in the end, it was decided that putting the knives away was my job.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, you could, it's like, because I mean, I know it's unrealistic and it's unreasonable and it's not really that important.
These things can become very significant.
Yeah, but people have different ways of doing things.
And as you're older, you get more set in your ways as well, do you think? I've done this for 50-odd years.
It's funny because I think, I don't know whether I feel more set in my ways as such.
It's a new adventure and you...
But certainly you do have things that you... Without even thinking about it, you think they're terribly logical and it's the only way that something should be done.
Yes.
And then somebody does it a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, generally, Debbie will check the dishwasher before and put it on because my loading of the dishwasher is not quite as up to standard as hers.
So you do the cutlery, she does the dishwasher.
Yes. Okay. And so, you just have little things like that are differences. And you can either get yourself getting it because I'm a real twist about them, or you can actually see the slightly funny side of it and go, okay, I'll do this, or, you know, I'll do that, or whatever. We probably, when it comes to sort of cleanliness and tidiness and everything like that, have fairly similar ways of you know, standards. I think that would be a problem if you didn't have those. But again, having, as I said in our last episode, Deb and I had lived in the same house for 6 months or so some years ago. So we knew that those standards were similar.
Now Debbie had been married. Had you more generally shared accommodation or lived on your own?
In probably the last 20, I suppose, odd years, or maybe even more than that, actually, probably 30 years, I've lived on my own, either flatting or owning a property. Prior to that, I flatted with other people.
Okay.
I'd done both, and there is an adjustment involved when you automatically do something because previously, you know, you've lived on your own. You were the one who made those decisions about what. So there is, you have to sometimes have to stop and say, oh, okay. let's chat what we're going to do about what we're going to do with that.
Yes.
But it's not difficult to do that.
But for her, was there an adjustment? Because she'd be used to this is in a marriage, you do things. Yeah. Well, maybe she ran the home or something.
Yeah, so I think similarly, there would be times when it would be easy for both of us to just go ahead and do something, not actually intentionally excluding the other, but just out of habit, because that's what we've done for so many years. And you know, you sort of work, you as long as you recognize those things and talk about it or work around it or go, oh, hold on, I was just talking about my garden or my whatever, and actually it's ours, not mine. That works. Yeah. It's fine.
But you're still able to live fairly independently here anyway.
Yes, And I think we appreciate that each of us has our strong points or things we like doing.
Yeah.
So probably unlike, one of the things that's unlike flatting, I mean, like, I remember with flatting you tended to almost try and divide almost everything, you know, equally.
Yeah.
Here, you know, you do that with maybe the things that nobody really likes doing, like the housework and whatever. But say Debbie's keener on gardening than I am, so she'll sort of take a lead with that. I'm keener on cooking, so I'll take a lead on that. So it would never worry me if I'm doing, you know, 90% of the cooking, because I enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
Similarly, it won't worry her if she's doing most of the gardening, because she's enjoying that. So
probably having been married, the idea that she doesn't have to do all the cooking.
Yes. So it sort of works out well. And I think people just have to.
You adapt,
see, play it sort of by ear, too bitter and twisted about things that are different, and just talk about them rather than letting them become big things.
Yes. Now, this is a point, part of the on the legal side that you were discussing before, you can anticipate as things change, but what if, for example, one of you did find you were in a wheelchair, or you started developing dementia or something?
We're in the midst of, actually haven't quite finished sorting that out, but we've got sort of people who could take over and have sort of power of attorney and whatever if we were incapacitated. We're good enough friends that we would certainly be supportive of each other if one was unwell or whatever. Yeah. So there certainly would be support there. If we ever got to the stage that, you know, it just was not possible for one person to live in the house anymore, we'd have to, you know, look and then see what was going to happen with the one person we needed to.
But on the way through towards that, though, it would be getting more and more unbalanced in what was happening.
And I suppose that is just something that we kind of accept as part of the deal.
Have to work.
You know, say for example, if one of us, as you say, on that way through to getting to a stage where you needed to live somewhere else, we might have to go, okay, things have changed. Is this property still suitable for us?
Yeah.
Do we need to take into consideration, now that one person can't do a lot of things, do we need to sell and buy something smaller? So I think we've, you know, looked at, we've got that sort of flexibility and made those discussions. And actually, one thing we did do that I'd almost forgotten about, because it's a while since we've done it, but when we'd been here for 6 months, we sort of stopped and had a brief conversation that was along the lines of, is there anything I'm doing that's really annoying you or that isn't working about the house? And I think we, you know, it might have been all of about 5 minutes, I suspect, but it was like just this brief check-in of actually stopping and saying, okay, is there anything that's coming up that's an issue that we, you know, that we haven't talked about or something?
Yeah.
And kind of did that at about a year as well, yeah. and then haven't done it since. Yeah. But I think it's probably quite yeah. a good...
Because I was thinking, that, you know, now you've been doing this for 2 years, so you've developed various habits, systems, and yeah. so on. It's evolved. Do you feel you've grown through it? You've adapted?
Yeah, I definitely think that we both have. And yeah, but we, as I said, we have our moments because obviously we're human. We might be tired. We might be grumpy. There might be something we're wanting to do. So we'll have the odd little spat, as anyone will. Yeah. And as sort of mature people, we get over that. And you know, you have you might have your little spat, and then you're okay.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, hopefully that is. You get older yourself, you realise more and more that you're not perfect, and that not only do you need to be cut a bit of slack, sometimes you need to cut other people's from slack.
So
I think, you know, I think that's really the main thing. And if you do that, and if you genuinely get on and like each other, I mean, Deb and I have very, as I've said in the previous episode, very different tastes in all sorts of things. But that's actually kind of worked out quite well because we've travelled overseas several times together prior to living together.
Okay.
So it's meant that we've often seen things or done things that we mightn't have done on our own. But it's expanded what we've done. And I think the same here. You know, you it's like, oh, I'm going to go to X. Do you want to go? Oh, I don't really know if that appeals to me. But, oh, well, I might give it a go. So I think it's good in that way.
Yeah. And at the same time, there's no feeling that you have to be doing things together.
No, that's right. And we do, you know,
And you've got separate TVs if you want to watch different channels.
Yes, well, that's one of the things that we laugh about because I'm probably into your more gritty dramas, and Debbie likes happy endings.
Okay. So
two different TVs.
So there's things, and we talk about something. We go, oh, that's something we could watch together. So there'll be certain things we do watch together, and then the other things that I'll go. I'll leave you to this. I'm just going to go off and watch. You know, something. So I think again, if you've got that flexibility with that, and just realizing that neither one's right or wrong, it's just different taste.
Yeah. So with family then, do you sort of, do you feel sort of part of her family if they're coming around here?
Deb has family living, has her sister living nearby.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's fine. Certainly we see quite a bit of bond, and that's no issue whatsoever. Deb has family but so do I, who live in other areas, and we've had no issues about whether when they come and stay whatever. It doesn't feel like you're excluded in some way or anything like that. And I've got a significant birthday later in the year, and I probably, as part of that, go to Christchurch and see family, and Deb will come as well, and we'll do a wider tour around a few places we both want to see in the South Island.
And if you want your own space anywhere, there's places you can retreat to.
And we, towards the end of last year, at the beginning of October, we went to Europe together for 8 weeks. So we could.
So you're basically you got on really well before you moved in, and you managed to carry on.
That's right. We'd done a couple of overseas trips together prior to moving in, and as I said, we've known each other for 50 odd years. Often, you know, sometimes living in different cities, but still remaining in contact. So I think we're comfortable about doing things together or doing them separately.
In terms of the local community, how do they see, or there's that strange arrangement there, or they just
I don't know that that many people necessarily sort of, I think, who's aware of it.
Much contact with neighbours?
But then, the neighbours are, the neighbours, but they just seem to be, yeah, it's just perfectly normal.
Yeah.
I laugh because I was at one particular group that I was involved with, and I was having a conversation with a couple of women who were really good friends, and who both their husbands were alive, and on hearing about the situation that I was living in, their faces lit up and they went, "Ooh, when our husbands die, we could do that. That'd be really good." Yeah. That'd make life a lot easier, they see.
Well, I did hear two older people who were on their own talking about a sister or a relative and so on. Yes, they're lucky because they're on their own. She's got a husband who's going out right. And all that.
Think that they sort of suddenly were looking at, they had a very time consuming hobby that was actually around having dogs, actually, and I think they were suddenly thinking, like, "Ooh, wouldn't that be really? That'd make life a lot simpler with the dogs and with the training and this, that, and the other, you know."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I just felt like, "Oh, they're going to go home and bump off their husbands." So
I can cut that bit if you want.
I've had one old friend, not a particularly, close friend, that doesn't sound right, someone I've known for a number of years, who I don't see a lot of, and and he said to me, "Well, do you mind me asking?" He said, "Because are you actually a couple, or did you just share the house?" I said, "Don't mind you asking at all." Yeah. I said, "But we're not a couple." But I said, "Wouldn't matter," because he was like, "Wouldn't matter if you were." I said, "No, it wouldn't matter." But he was trying to. He was interested, but
wondering.
Not offended.
Well, he might have found you attractive and thought, "I'm." You never know. So you've got this working with two of you. Could you see it working with three or four?
Depending on the people. I think I probably would struggle, even though it's a large house with many more, because we have plenty of space and we still have that independence, and yes, I have lived on my own for many years, so constantly, though I'm very much a people person, constantly having people around, I think would start, I'd probably find that harder.
So I'm thinking this because I know there are some arrangements that are slightly different with larger sort of communities with shared facilities, but independent living, but some.
And I think that's probably a great idea. I suppose that's where I could see that sort of arrangement working. Because obviously we own the whole house, so we move around it. No one, has possession over particular areas, like one area of the lounge or anything like that. I think if you had more people, I think apart from having your bedroom,
you'd want more a bed set rather than a bedroom.
Yeah, you'd also need a small lounge area.
Yeah.
And then anything else I'd be happy to share with a large number of people. But I just think you need a bit of space. Because you don't really want to retreat to your bedroom all the time. Yeah. I don't think that would be a healthy thing.
Because I think maybe people listening way in the future would be way ahead of us, but the idea of more creative living arrangements as you get an ageing population and more people who are on their own, and how does that work? Because you're sort of at the cutting edge of some of this with what you're doing here compared to other people.
Yeah, and it certainly, I think, gives you a lot more security. I mean, obviously, both Deb or I go away also, we might go away together, but we also go away independently, so there's times where we are here on our own. But I think, even if someone, say if I'm not well or I hurt my knee was playing up, Deb can walk the dogs, and often does walk them anyway, and as do I, but she can take on some of those extra things, which...
Yeah.
Or the other way around.
Yeah, or the other way around. Yeah. Which, if you're on your own, it suddenly becomes very stressful if you've got two dogs to walk and you can't walk at the moment, or you can't go up to the shops. Yeah. It's just... Well,
there's another issue as well which can be quite important, which is sort of, if something happened to you, you woke up and you're not well, there's someone who will pick that up very quickly, rather than you being on your own for several days before someone realises.
That's right, and I think you're right. Yeah. That's you know, if you for some reason you're unwell, there's someone there who can I sort of hesitate to use the word monitor, but at least sees what is happening.
That is observed.
Well,
even having a stroke and a quick response to a stroke is important.
Some years ago, I belonged to a book club, and one of the women who, again, she lived on her own, and she'd had a stroke, but hadn't realised that she'd had one, and it wasn't until the next day when she actually walked down to the shops, and the first shopkeeper she saw, who knew her well, went, "Oh my God, something's wrong here," and contacted a closer friend.
And
unfortunately, by that stage, a lot of permanent damage had already been done. There is a distinct advantage to having someone who will immediately notice if you're not well. And as I said, pick up, be able to, without a big deal, pick up the things you'd normally do. That often, if you're living on your own, you know, and you've got a really bad cold or whatever, it's like, God, I've got to go and do X, because there's, you know, there's only me to do it, so I've got to go and walk the dogs, or I've got to go and do whatever it is. Take the rubbish out, for example, you know. And you're dragging it down the driveway, coughing and spluttering and feeling like death warmed up. You don't have to do that when there's somebody else in the house. And that actually, they may seem like small things, but they actually make a big difference. You know, I don't have to go and drag myself out of bed and do those dishes, because someone else will do it for me while I'm not well, and I'll do it for them when they're not well.
And you know that you're with someone who's into the give and take sort of thing, so it will be
And it's like, if you are crook, it's kind of nice when you're feeling better again, that you know you don't have to come out of the kitchen and sort of go, "Oh my God, look at all the dishes that are stacked up." Well, I didn't feel like I could wash them, or you know.
Well, there's actually two sides to that as well, because one thing they say about, you know, people living well into old age, if you feel you're doing something for other people, that's a positive as well. So the fact that someone can actually help out sometimes is good.
I think it is good, because you can, we have different ways of looking at a lot of different things. And that's also just, I think, very good for you as well. Is it healthy to be exposed?
If issues come up, you're not trying to deal with it, you're just on your own, you get the other.
You've got a sounding board.
So you've got a sounding board, and it, so it certainly, I mean, it works very well for us.
That's it, precisely. With the right sort of people, it can work very well.
And
there are legal covers for some of the
And the
issues,
reality, too, is very much there's potential for a lot of financial advantages, because the reality is you know, this house would cost as much to turn the aircon on as if there's one person in there, or if there's two. The things that you do need to have, like buying a washing machine, etc. Normally if we were in our separate houses, we'd have two of those. So there's those financial advantages where you
even the food, the economising with shared meals,
and when you if you sell two homes, you can be in a position where you end up with some extra money yourself,
because you've got a lovely large place here, and
it's kind of good, and you and also there's some, it's like sometimes when you're living on your own, there is that sort of waste, because you are generating that same, you know, that the two washing machines, the two dryers, the whatever,
and just the food stuff that's can you get through a whole cabbage?
And things like that. So I think sharing some of those things, that some of which aren't necessarily great for the environment, and our you know, sort of throwaway type society.
Yeah.
If you're not having to consume as much because you only need one washing machine rather than two, or well, I was going to say one fridge, except we've got three fridges and a freezer, so I can't use it. But I mean, that's just a very practical.
Well, things like it costs exactly the same amount of electricity to boil and up beans for two people as it does for one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So,
and internet costs.
So there are all of those costs that you can share.
Do you have Sky or Netflix?
Yes, we do, and we have that. So again, you're sharing things like that.
Yeah.
That mean, you know, you're not paying as much because you're paying for half rather than paying the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I think there's certainly a lot to be said for looking at it. You know, it's not for everybody, but it's an arrangement that is
With the right person that you're right people that you can get similar tastes in food, maybe
sort of someone who's just prepared to try other things if the taste tastes are different.
Yeah.
But
and socially, do you I suppose you're each invited, inviting people round to their house, or do people feel they can pop round, or
we've made some friends here and things since we've been here. We're quite social,
Does it mean, if you know, can you each individually have your own friends, or do they feel they should be friends with both?
Not come up in that. When I say it's not come up, in most cases where people, we've got to know someone well, they've ended up being friends with both of us, just because that's sort of because you have them around for dinner and very often anyway in life, I mean, sometimes you have a situation where you have friends who don't like each other, but often you have a group of friends who get on well. So even if you're not living in the same house necessarily, you may share a number of friends.
Do you belong to the same organisations or interest groups or whatever? Or you each
we both do the U3A travel group.
Yeah.
Deb does the gardening group, which isn't me. I do the Silver Screen group, which isn't Deb. We do one little thing of volunteering together. I do some other voluntary stuff that Deb's not involved with. So we have a mixture of things that some we do on our own.
Which gives you variety as well, because it brings you in contact with other
people. So we don't have to go. That's right. And we can if we want to, but we don't have to.
You've got something that's worked very well for 2 years. It's settled down, and you can see it carrying on.
Yes, I can see it carrying on. I think as long as you talk, and as long as you get on well, and as long as you've planned a few things, and can discuss when issues come up, there is the flexibility for it to extend on as long as you want.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.